Late, folks.
We nearly started with it.
Novick is on his way as well. I think I saw him in the hall. Council, please come back to order. Would you call the roll?
Fish?
Here.
Saltzman?
Here.
Novick? Fritz?
Here.
Hales?
Here. And we have one item this afternoon, item number 389.
Ratify a successor collective bargaining agreement between the city and the signatory unions within the District Council of Trade Unions for the terms and conditions of employment for 2013-2017.
Very happy to see you all here at long last on this item. Ms. Kanwit.
Indeed. Mayor, Commissioners, Anna Kanwit, Director of the Bureau of Human Resources. With me is Julia Getchell, who is the city's chief spokesperson throughout the DCT negotiations, and Patrick Ward, her second, is also here today. Yes, we are delighted to be able to present the contract to you today for ratification. Negotiations began February 19th, 2013. We did reach one tentative agreement, as you know, in January that the members voted down, but a second tentative agreement in March that was ratified last Friday by the DC2 members. This is a four-year agreement expiring June 30th, 2017. The city had several important goals for this round of negotiations with DC2. Some of them cut across all six contracts that we were negotiating that had expired in, last June. One was in the spirit of shared sacrifice due to the serious budget shortfall that the city faced this year, was looking at a 50% of the cost of living increase and offered 0.9%. The rationale behind that was both in terms of a budgetary savings, but also a recognition of the need to provide some cost of living to employees. In the out years of this contract, we are applying the same formula of cost of living that we've used in the past, which is a floor of 1% and a ceiling of 5%. For this particular tentative agreement, as with the other four, the increase in the cost of living is retroactive to August 29th, not back to July 1st. And that also is important for the city. It's important for all the parties to be negotiating at the table and get these agreements done as efficiently as possible. As you know, one of the major issues in the DC2 contract for negotiations was contracting out. And I think although it was a long and arduous process, we did reach an agreement that I believe meets both parties' needs. The union was very clear about the need for job security, the need to have some statement regarding the city's unwillingness to privatize our workforce, and also concerned, and this was a concern we learned late in the process, about what would happen to employees' jobs if, as new technology came into play, new equipment, if what the city intended to do was either not train employees on that equipment or provide, you know, any of the training that was needed and end up contracting out that work. So the agreement we reached on Article 6 addresses all of those concerns. It does provide the job security. There's a statement that the city doesn't intend to privatize the workforce. We did address the issue of new technology, but also addresses some important city concern, other city concerns as well with our current contract, what was our current contract language, which was a complicated notification and costing process. That's no longer in the contract, and also we exempt it out from the contracting out article, the contracts under the city's prime contracting program, which is very important in terms of our goal to diversify that work, and also the donated services piece. One of the other city goals was control of overtime expenses, looking at compensatory time. Our original proposal, as you know, was a hard cap, annual cap of 80 hours versus the rolling cap. We did enter into a compromise agreement with the DC2 and put a hard cap in of 120 hours annual cap, with an exception for employees on standby agreements who then can continue basically the status quo, which is a rolling cap. Also eliminated the automatic cash out at the end of the fiscal year, which is a plus for Bureau's budgets. So again, felt this was a very balanced agreement. One of the things that the city did concede was in the last contract of negotiations, we did attempt to move towards a overtime standard that's more akin to the Federal Fair Labor Standards Act. And the one provision, if an employee was going to work voluntary overtime and was sick that week, had vacation that week, they would not get paid an overtime rate for that overtime. They'd be paid, but not an overtime rate until they actually worked 40 hours a week. This, as you might know, was pretty unpopular, was also difficult for the bureaus to administer. So one of the concessions that the city did make is we eliminated that language from Article 9, the overtime language. Another, I think, important point for this negotiations for the city is this is the first time that we came forward with an equity package. And what we alerted the union to was that there is contract language that we think impedes and negatively impacts our ability to not only continue to diversify the workforce, but also to ensure that we are providing promotional opportunities to a more diverse workforce, which enhances our ability to retain the people that we're recruiting. So although, of course, the city did not attain all of its goals in this area, there were some very important provisions that we put in. Working out of class, we're really excited about the career development program that Julia actually has agreed to take the lead on developing, which will provide the promotional opportunities and training that is not simply based on seniority. So we think that's a step in the right direction. Also for the article on promotions, there is language that if there's two or more qualified DC2 members on the list, one of those members will be promoted. the unions did agree to allow an exception. That is, if there's a qualified veteran on that list as well, that that person will be considered too. So, again, those are all steps in the right direction, and we do appreciate labor's willingness to work with us on some of those issues. The last part just to mention is there are some premium increases and wage increases in this contract above cost of living. The housing inspector will 6%, senior housing inspector 6.5%. They go into effect on ratification. Those are premium increases. There's a wage increase for FMTs of 3% that goes into effect the last year of the contract. Facilities maintenance technicians.
Technician.
Yeah.
Right.
Sorry, the acronyms come back to haunt. the overall cost of this agreement to the city is $131,000, excluding the cost of the COLA increases. This fits with our goal over these negotiations that any item that was negotiated into the contract needed to be paid for out of the Bureau's existing budgets, and that goal was accomplished in all of the agreements that we reached over this last round of negotiations, and this was the same for DCTU, so the additional cost to the Bureau's is quite minimal. I highly recommend the tentative agreement to you. It meets the city's goals. It's the product of a lot of hard work and compromise by both sides, and again, can't tell you how happy we are to be bringing this forward to you today. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions? Anna, Julia.
Anna, do you think we could have the labor partners just stand and be recognized? And I'm not
yeah,
sure.
A couple did sign up. I think
yeah.
Sherry and, oh, no, Scott Lucy and Rob Wheaton, I think we're going to,
great,
to speak to you as well.
Others.
So.
Well, unless there are questions for the team, then let's bring up our partners from DCTU who'd like to talk about this agreement. So come on up, please.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I'm Scott Lucy. I'm a Machinist Union Business Representative.
I'm Rob Wheaton with Oregon AFSCME Council 75.
Well, first I'd like to thank everyone, and especially you, Mayor Hales, for helping conclude these negotiations. They're some of the longest that I've ever been involved in. There is, however, one more piece that I believe is a barrier towards a more positive and, if you will, trusting working relationship. Out of these contentious negotiations, there are ULPs that are in play and filed. I would ask you to use the authority and power of your office to direct the city attorney's office to remove those charges. They are indeed a barrier to a more positive, collaborative working relationship. We all have important things to do, and the relationship needs to be repaired. We need to build some trust and a more positive working relationship, collaborative working relationship in the future. And those things are barriers right now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, and although this isn't the longest contract I've ever negotiated, it is the longest with a public employer. I've not had any of the cities or counties that I've worked with or other municipal agencies take this long. It was a very, very difficult bargaining session. I think both sides made some compromises, and we were able to reach an agreement that ultimately we were able to ratify and recommend to our members. I agree. I will not be... Mark happened to get me a nice bottle of sparkling wine to celebrate the settlement of this contract. However, I'm not going to be cracking that open until actually we resolve all the issues outstanding, including these unfair labor practices that are associated with bargaining. Yes, it's a great day. I'm really happy to be here, but we still feel like there's a shadow of bargaining that's outstanding. So thank you for all your help. I'd also like to thank my DCTU partners, Cherry Harris for being a sounding board, and Julia and Anna for having the patience to sit through this on the other side.
Great. Thank you. Questions for this part of the team? Thank you. Perseverance paid off at last, so thank you.
Actually, I do have a question. What are you going to do with yourselves now that this is done?
Just a few other problems to deal with.
Well, at one time I was going to go to Disneyland. We had friend plans, but now it's summer, it's getting to summertime, so that's going to be too crowded. But tomorrow I plan on putting on the John Day River, and we'll be floating that for 3 days, reading some nice weather. Yeah. So
pick the weather right, too, didn't you? Good.
No, Mayor, just one thing that Scott mentioned, reflecting. Scott said something about building a positive, collaborative working relationship, and I'm reminded that in labor relations, the relationship is more important than anything that's in writing. You can have a handshake or you can have a 1,000-page document, but if the relationship isn't right, it doesn't really matter. And so as we debrief this process, I think the council would welcome hearing from you as well as our team on what worked, what didn't, because we're always looking for feedback and we're interested in ways of doing things better. But ultimately, there's no one up here who doesn't want a positive, collaborative relationship with our labor partners, because we know that without the employees who work so hard for this city, we would not be the city that we are. So I just want to put that out there, that to the extent there are future conversations about things that you believe we can do better or differently, or you have suggestions, I think you'll find all of us receptive. But again, what's on a piece of paper is much less important than the trust in the relationship. And that is something we value, and I think we are committed to strengthening.
That's good to hear.
Yep. Thank you.
Amen. Good. Thank you. Anybody else that would like to come up? I just want to thank the rest of you who are here today to witness the completion of this work. Thank you for your hard work on this as well. Other members want to comment before we take a roll call? Let's do that then.
Fish?
I'm about to lose my voice, so I'll be very brief. Mayor and your team, congratulations for bringing this home. This is contract number?
The last.
Six. It's been a long road, but you brought them home. To Anna Canwit and Julia Getchell and the whole team, thank you for your great work. And the public doesn't actually have, a sense of how much time you spend conferring with us and engaging in shuttle diplomacy. And there are five of us and then all the DCTU partners, so you have an immensely difficult job. And thank you for your good work. And to Rob Wheaton and to the DCTU team, I know that many of you feel this took too long and it took two cracks. And so perhaps there's some lessons we can all learn, and I think I want to reiterate, there's receptivity to understanding, from your perspective, how we might do things different in the future. And there's always room for improvement. And if we don't say that, then we lack humility as leaders. But what we do deeply appreciate is the relationship. And the relationship is what is most important. And frankly, today we are going to ratify a contract where there is significant shared sacrifice by the employees that you represent. And we should acknowledge that, and we should say thank you for the service they provide to the city and for the shared sacrifice they were willing to enter into. And I particularly appreciate all the creative work that went into getting Article 6 right. My sense is that no one is currently happy with Article 6, and I once worked for a member of Congress who told me, when that is the situation, you've hit the sweet spot. But Article 6 was a flashpoint, but I think it is stronger today, and the city has some changes that it needed, and there's some language in Article 6 that our labor partners needed just to be sure about our shared values. And that was the toughest nut to crack, but I appreciate all the hard work and the creative work that went into it, because there's some things in Article 6 which are new and different and probably were not contemplated at the beginning, but that came out of this collective bargaining process. So thank you to our DCTU partners. Thank you to our employees for the great work they do. Mayor, thank you to you and to HR and to everyone who brought this home. I'm pleased to vote aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I want to thank the mayor and DCTU and our bargaining team. This did take a long time, probably too long. And I'm going to support this agreement in the spirit of reaching a fair compromise, but I do want to go on record as stating my objections to the weakening of the overtime Article 9. The notion that you know, under the Fair Labor Standards Act, you get overtime once you've worked 40 hours. We are once again slipping away from that notion, which I think is a notion that makes a lot of sense to your average person on the street. And only us inside of government kind of lose sight of that idea that you got to work 40 hours before you get overtime. And I think that's going to come back to haunt us when we seek approval by voters for other tax measures. They're going to be wondering, okay, how much of this is going to overtime, especially if it's overtime less than 40 hours a week. So it's a baffling system. It engenders public mistrust, and I regret that we have slipped from where we were, I think, in the last contract, which was a modest gain in the notion of you need to work 40 hours before you get overtime. So I strongly object to the weakening of that provision, but as I said at the outset of my remarks, in the spirit of a compromise and reaching an agreement that we can go forward on, I think this is a fair compromise, and I'm very pleased to support it. Aye.
Novick.
I actually was going to say that one of the most important things to me in this agreement was that change in how we calculate overtime. I think that if you work on Monday, you're sick on Tuesday, but you wind up working 4 other days, the equivalent thereof, then you are entitled to overtime. So I was actually very pleased with that change. I also wanted to say that I hope the world knows that the workers of Portland are not getting a full cost of living increase. That is quite a sacrifice. I saw a letter to the editor earlier this year that said, why doesn't government tighten its belt and do things like not give cost of living increases? And in fact, that is a significant sacrifice, and it really is a permanent wage reduction that our employees are making. And I for one, really, really appreciate that. I also wanted to say that in the course of the past, you know, what has it been, like 465 days or something, I periodically heard reports on the negotiations, and it seemed like on numerous occasions one side was asking for something that the other side didn't make sense because they thought that the side asking for it was just being paranoid and that would never happen. And I think that to some extent we have a resolution because each side finally agreed that it was worth putting in language that assured people that what would never happen would in fact never happen. And I think it's maybe a lesson that we should always respect each other's paranoia, however silly we think it might be. Thank you very much, Anna. Thank you very much, Rob, for the work you and your teams did. And as always, I mean, thank you to the mayor and to Josh Alpert. I've become convinced that if Josh Alpert ever leaves, the city will fall apart. So I hope that never happens. Aye.
Fritz.
I echo the comments of my colleagues and also respect Anna. This is your first full set of bargaining. As the head of the Bureau of Human Resources, I think you've done a magnificent job. And the way of doing it, of coordinating with your weekly visits to each one of us, I was very skeptical about whether that was going to work, and you made it work. And I felt that each one of the five of us had appropriate input and that you were able to coordinate between us. So you're the Hillary Clinton of our... my highest praise that I could give you. And so thank you very much to our workers, too. I very much appreciate that this was difficult, and I think we've gotten to a good place. Aye.
Hales.
Well, thank you all. And, yes, Josh cannot leave because he is indispensable, and he really helped add value to the negotiations and I think help bring us together as we should be with our partners. Let me just reflect a little bit on sort of where I see us going from here. You know, one, prior to my arrival, this city had been through a whole series of budget cuts driven by the recession. And that was a terrible, traumatic time, and no wonder people were worried. And then there's an ideological battle going on out there that we occasionally get echoes or incursions of here into Portland. There are a couple things going on that I think ought to give us all reason to be optimistic. One, I'm going to propose a budget tomorrow that adds positions to the city's workforce for the first time in several years. And that's the direction not only that I want to take, but that all of us want to take. We want to start adding back services that we had to reduce because we have to balance our books here. But our inclination, and I think there's no better way to show that than in a budget that adds positions, our inclination is to give people more services with our own workforce. And we can say that with our words, we can write that in our agreements, but if we build that into our budgets and actually spend money that way, that's probably some of the best proof that we can provide that we're on the right philosophical path here. Secondly, you know, we do, in local government, I think, sometimes get visited with the disgruntlement that is going on about other levels of government. You know, people see Congress as dysfunctional and therefore all elected offices are dysfunctional and fight all the time. Well, actually, no, we're not, and we hardly ever fight, or at least we don't fight enough to slow down progress. And same thing with these broad generalities that, you know, organized labor that works for local government, you know, they're overpaid. No, you're not. They're getting huge cost of living increases. No, they're not. They don't have a good work ethic. Oh, yes, they do. And it's part of my job, actually, to tell that story to the larger community that we are a little brigadoon here where people show up for work. They give us a good day's work for good value. We do a great job of providing these public services. And this city council manages the budget in a prudent way. And we have to keep telling that story because, again, there's all that noise out there about government, and there's some people that want to bring that noise into our city politically, and we're working really hard to make sure that doesn't happen. I tell the stories from the work I see all the time. There was a sewer crew in front of my house not long ago, and I talked to them, and I go told the story to my neighbors about what they were doing. And the first time I rode along on a paving machine, the crew were trying to help me guide it, and were talking about how they wanted to make sure that that was a really great installation of an overlay because all the local contractors drove down that street, and they wanted to make sure that the contractors saw that we were better than they were. I tell that story all the time because it shows the work ethic and the values of the people that work for us. So I think when we do something like this, sometimes it goes a little unheralded because it's good news. It's government doing its job. It's a reasonable compromise between the interests at a bargaining table. But I think each of us has the opportunity, and I'll certainly take it, to in any other forum I get a chance to speak in, to let people know that it's different here in Portland. We get to yes. We spend people's money wisely. We give our taxpayers good value for the dollars, and we take care of our workers. Who can disagree with that? Thank you all for great work. Aye.
Mayor, can I just make one Please. Comment for the record? The sewer work in front of your house was scheduled prior to January 1 of 2013.
That's
we are in
true.
The budget season. I want no implication of any untoward favoritism. But thank you for the shout-out.
That is true. Thank you all. We're adjourned until next week.